Hello and welcome to the Liz on Biz podcast, where the guests are barely prepped and I'm barely ready. I'm your host, Liz Teresa, and I help you launch and build online businesses you love. This podcast is all about entrepreneurship, and I hope you like it. Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Liz on Biz podcast. As you know, I'm Liz, because I'm the one who introduces each episode, and by now you probably know that, and you probably know my voice. But if it's your first time with me, welcome to the show. Here with me today is Megan Hale. Megan is a retired psychotherapist, enoughness coach, and podcast host of the Enoughness Revolution, on which she shares practical tools that speak to the soul to create more joy in life, work, and love. She's built her life coaching practice on her expertise of teaching clients how to choose love and bravery over shame and fear, and opening them to a life of purpose and meaning. She's the author of the upcoming 2017 book, Wild and Holy, sharing her biggest lessons on transforming pain into love, becoming whole, and living brave. She's carried her Carolina roots to Texas, where she's married to her best friend and has taken on her newest role of mother to their son and two pooches. She blogs on everything between marriage, motherhood, spirituality, courage, creativity, and creating a fulfilling life instead of just a full one. Wow, that's how well said. You wrote that? Did you write that?
Of course.
Oh, it's so good. I loved that last sentence. It really got me right in the feels. So, well, welcome, Megan. Hi, Megan.
Hi, Liz. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited to talk with you today. I have, as I say on the show, do you ever notice, because you're a podcaster, do you ever notice that you have things that you say and then like you repeat them through episodes and then you're like, man, I wonder if people notice that I do that?
I think we all have our little mannerisms. I mean, and I think it's just like we get in our own flow, you know?
Yeah.
It makes us ours and it makes us unique. And I think that it gives our listeners kind of a way of, I don't know, loving us even more.
Oh, we're humans. Because I've been doing this thing where I always say that to the person that I have 12 million of whatever. So I'm like, oh, 12 million questions or 12 million feelings about something. I don't know why. Unless like 12 million is a special number for me. Like I was born in December, so I could get very thoughtful about this. Like, I don't know. That's pretty much it. That's all I got.
Maybe that's your impact, girl.
Ooh.
To impact 12 million people.
I like that. You know what? Thank you. You've given me meaning now. Okay, so of my 12 million questions that I likely have for you, I guess I want to start with asking you, how did you come to this business that you're running now, and how did you come to this life?
Well, that's a big question. So, I guess the short version is I've always been into personal development. And I mean, ever since I was 15 and I took my first psychology class in high school, I was like, this is me. I just love understanding humans. I love understanding why we do what we do, why we feel what we feel, why we believe what we believe, and understanding that we hold so much power within us. So I knew pretty early on that I wanted to be in the personal development realm. So I had no idea life coaching even existed back then. I mean, and it's still a pretty new field for the most part. So I went a very traditional route and I went and got a master's in counseling and became a licensed professional counselor, opened up a private practice, which was my 15-year-old dream. And I started noticing that a lot of the women that were finding me in my private practice, they were coming because they were experiencing depression or anxiety. And when we got into the work, it never failed that the reason they were experiencing what they were experiencing was because they weren't living true to who they were. So a lot of the work started being around authenticity and that vulnerability of creating change and doing those like really big steps to align our lives more with who we really are and what we really want, giving ourselves permission to expand past what maybe our parents wanted for us or what culture wants for us, right? So it really became helping women get clear on their values and getting clear on their worthiness, which is a big piece to pursuing a life and even a business that you love. And I started getting curious if there was a way for me to expand my impact and expand my reach. And that's when I found life coaching, and that totally changed my world. So from this has really built my coaching practice. And, you know, when I started getting into the online entrepreneurship, I felt like, so when I was a therapist, I was a big fish in a little pond. And then when I became a life coach online, I became a little fish in a very big pond. And I found myself getting wrecked with comparison. There were so many messages coming my way of what I needed to be doing in my business to be successful and all this stuff. And I was like, oh my God. And I really started becoming aware that I really didn't feel like I was enough. So I took a 4-month break from my business and really did some deep inner work for myself of unraveling my own ideas and beliefs and stories around enoughness. And that's what really spurred my podcast, the enoughness work, enoughness coaching. And, you know, you're catching me in a really interesting spot because I'm right at this transition in my business and in my branding that I've really come to realize that enoughness work is really about transforming the relationship that we have with ourselves, with our divinity, and with everything in between. So I'm really kind of actually switching into more relationship coaching because I've noticed that that's at the bottom of it, that's really what I'm doing. And I think it's a little bit more clear with how I'm able to help my clients.
That's so interesting. And thank you for being so candid about like what that means and like just telling me all that stuff. And especially that you're going through this transformation. That's such a relatable thing. Cause like entrepreneurship, I mean, you really have to accept that 5-year plans. I mean, like I get clients that will have these big plans. Right. And I love plans. Plans are great, right? They're great. And I'm supposed to like them, right? Because it's like my job. I'm like, I'm supposed to help you, you know, be savvy with online marketing. Let's make a website that works and like all this stuff. Then I have these clients and they'll have these like 3-year plan, 2-year plan, 5-year plan. And I'm like, what? And they're like, you know, we're going to go national. And I'm like, you're just going to go national. Like, what? And I'm like, don't you know that there's stuff there? Like, you could change your mind. You could hate this. You could like, you know, you could change your target audience. And so that's really cool of you to share that. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
And so like you, when you were saying that you didn't feel like you were enough and that you think that a lot of it goes back to relationship, when you were saying, when you say you want to do like relationship coach or you are, I mean, that's what your background is in anyways. I saw that you are a relationship coach. Yeah. Is that like, is that also, I mean, 'cause when I think relationship coach, I'm thinking like, you know, girl and her boyfriend, but I think it's a lot like, isn't it also girl in herself and then girl in the way that she relates to her friends probably is part of that?
Yes. And I see, so I work with couples and women one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And I think when I'm working with someone one-on-one, they might be coming to me because of a romantic relationship they want to work on. Sometimes it's family relationships they don't feel free from. You know, I think a lot of us, we can feel like we don't have strong boundaries with our mother, for instance, who likes to kind of meddle in our lives. And or sometimes it's maintaining friendships. Like we have this pattern of not being able to maintain friendships for whatever reason. And some of my clients come to me wanting to heal that or feeling more confident in themselves, which is all about the relationship that they're having with them, right? And sometimes it's very spiritual of wanting to find a deeper relationship with God or the universe or, you know, their belief system. Because when it comes down to it, like the way that we interact in the world, like humans are very relational. And we have a relationship to everything, including our business.
Oh, I love that.
So having a strong foundation in relationship skills impacts every single area of your life.
And is that's kind of where the podcast came from, right? The idea of enoughness.
Yeah. So what happened to me was I got inundated with all of these messages of what success looked like, right? And in the online entrepreneurial world, I feel like there's a lot of messaging about how much income you're supposed to be making, how many people are on your list, how many times you're supposed to be posting on social media, like all of these metrics. And I found that I was chasing after all of these things, but I quickly realized that if I didn't change the way I was viewing enoughness, I was going to keep on that chase forever and ever and ever and never get there, because there's always more to make. There's always more people to impact. There's always more available to us. And if we're using the concept of more to define our sense of enoughness, you're never going to feel enough.
Whoa. Holy, yeah. Holy moly. Have you been on Oprah already? Because, like, geez Louise. Because I so relate to this. And I got to tell you, the pressure on me. I mean, I'm like, this is all about me now. You interview me. No. But, like, the pressure that I feel as a marketer, because mm-hmm. my whole thing is about getting my people numbers and, like, you know, increasing conversion rates and, like, increasing traffic. And I love that stuff. But, like, mm-hmm. man, the pressure and, like, mm-hmm. and then keeping up myself, keeping up with the content. So I guess how did you have a moment where it was, like, where that became clear to you? Like, or was it just kind of, like, over time you realized that you just kept wanting more and that's why you were never having enough, is because you just kept wanting?
I think for me, I mean, I've always been a very type A, like, high achiever, goal-oriented person. And as I looked back, so business was really good for me because there's all these goals to reach. And that's why I really functioned well in school, because there's always something to achieve, right? The problem, though, is that I was in this hamster wheel of achieving more, 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 more to prove that I was worthy of success, belonging, right? Mm-hmm. Happiness, joy. And this showed up in different ways. Like, I would add more credentials to my name. I would add more certifications to my practice. I would try and hit different metrics in my business. And it's, here's the thing when you do enoughness work. Mm-hmm. So enoughness work is really about becoming whole and knowing who you are and understanding that you are worthy just as you are, where you are. It's not based on anything outside of yourself. Okay. When you really understand this and get rooted into this piece, you strive from a different place. You strive from a different motivation, because it's no longer hustle. It's no longer proving. It's no longer performing. It's much more based on your impact. And for me, when I was working from a place of hustle, I came off as really desperate, because I needed those numbers for me to be enough. But when I found different ways of being enough and fulfilling those pieces within myself, it all changed the way that I was approaching my business, that I really came from a place of service that was more selfless than selfish and self-fueling, if that makes sense.
No, that 100,000% makes sense.
Okay.
12,000,000% makes sense. So I like how you said, instead of thinking about it, even just like to pull this together, instead of thinking about it like you're hustling, which is the thing that people say, like, you know, get your hustle on. It's like every Monday I see this on like hashtag Motivation Monday. Hustle, hustle, everybody. And like the mm-hmm. last thing I want to do, sometimes I just want to stay in bed. I mean, I don't, but like, I mean, on a Monday, it's terrifying. Versus yeah. expanding impact, which I think yeah. that sums it up, because the way that you said being selfless. Mm-hmm. And then it also connects you more to your why. Like of your yeah. why of your business. And so when you realized this, right, mm-hmm. and you wanted to become, I guess when you realize you're hustling and you're like, how, and it's like kind of like, how's that working for you? Because it never feels good. And you're right. It comes off super stinky and desperate. I guess, how do you untell yourself all that stuff? Because that's a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely is. And I mean, we're not talking about, you know, there are no quick fix solutions. And I think that a lot of times in the personal development world, we're looking for those quick fixes. And if you really want to do this work and detach yourself from what the world is telling you to be, you're going to have to learn how to shut out the noise first and foremost, because hustling in the negative sense is all about keeping up with other people. Mm. You can hustle in a way that is not keeping up with other people. It's about creating more impact, creating more momentum, creating a bigger message, right? Or a bigger platform so other people can find you. You can hustle from a different place. So I think for me, like, if you really want to tell yourself something different, you have to know what you're telling yourself to begin with.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. I'm like, that kind of is a good point.
and what I mean by that is, like, what messages are you listening to? What messages have you digested that are informing your definition of worthiness, enoughness, success, happiness, whatever it is that you are working towards?
And then what's that new message? And, like, for me, I would say, I mean, help more people. And, like, I even think, you know what helps me? And this might speak to that, too, is that I have this thing on my website. And it's in a wicked small place, actually. But I have these, like, little pull quotes from my clients where, like, if they say something, like, really nice about me, mm-hmm. I ask them, of course. And then I put it in the pull quote section. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes, like, when I feel, like, the business blues, like, I'll read that, and then I'll be like, oh, that's why I do this, because so-and-so said that, like, I don't know, I changed her life, like, and she has things now and is excited about her business and all that.
Yeah.
And that stuff is the romantic stuff that gets me really, really going, because I think you'll get business blues. I think you can probably get them even when you're more impact focused. It probably is.
Oh, yeah.
Comes anyway.
I mean, let's just be like, the voices of not enough are human. Mm. There is never an amount of success that you could create where you're not going to experience the voices of not enough.
Yes.
That's the whole purpose of the enoughness revolution, as I wanted to prove that no matter what you became, how much you made, how much impact you were creating, the voices of not enough are still present, because I think for a lot of us, we're trying to outrun them. So the goal of enoughness work, or transforming our relationship with ourselves, is realizing that the whole goal is never to get there. There is no destination. Is to transform the way that we are speaking and treating ourselves along the journey. So for me, I have a love book that I write down nice things that people say to me, which is beautiful. It's a great practice. But I think what's even more powerful is understanding that I am not my numbers. I am so much more about how I make people feel. I'm in control of what I'm putting out in the world. I'm not as in control of numbers. So if you're basing worthiness or success off of something that is dependent on other people, you're working from a little bit of a disempowered place, because I can't control anything outside of myself. I can do all the marketing strategies and tactics day in and day out, but that's not guaranteed that I'm going to reach this number that I have in mind, right?
Right.
But I can be in control of how I want people to feel, the energy that I'm putting out in the world, how I'm treating myself, if I'm being brave. And so that's how I measure myself these days.
I just think you said that so well. I love it. I love all of it. I'm so glad we met. This is great. I just loved all of that. Like, I am not my numbers. I'm how I make people feel. That made me very happy.
Good.
And it reminded me, I saw this thing on Instagram today. One of my first episode actually was with this person, Stephanie O'Connell, and she's a millennial money expert. And she put this thing on Instagram, and it said, don't conflate net worth with self-worth. Which is kind of like what you're, I mean, net worth being like, you know, how many houses and cars and credit cards and stuff do you have? how good are you with money? Doesn't mean like how good you are as, you know, how worthy you are as a person of all the things.
Exactly.
And I was like, oh, that's so nice. And so then you saying that, I'm like, look how that lined up. But that was really, I loved it. So.
But that's like such an easy example. Like we use all of these metrics to define our sense of self.
Yes.
And a lot of these things are not fully in our control. Like, we can impact them. We can do things in order to work towards these goals or these numbers. But I think what's most important is how you are treating yourself on the way there. Because let's think about it from this point. If we're basing happiness or joy or success on reaching a goal, our life is much fuller of the journeys to reach the goal than of reaching the goal itself.
And then what are you going to do when you get there?
There's another goal.
Oh, you're right. There is, isn't there? That's absolutely right, because it's the whole point.
So we spend much more time in the journey
than
we do in actual achievement. And so that's why I think it's so transformational to focus on how the journey feels than the actual destination, because we spend much more time here.
Exactly. And so I wanna switch gears slightly, because I wanna ask you about your book, Wild and Holy. Mm-hmm. So can you tell me first where the name came from? Because I love it.
There is this quote by a yoga teacher that I studied. Well, I didn't study with her, but I studied people who had been trained by her. And the quote is, it's taken my whole life to believe or realize that I can be both wild and holy. And when I was looking at my own journey, I mean, my whole life has been about getting rid of boxes and experiencing as much freedom and living true to myself. Like, I've always had this insatiable desire and curiosity on how to create that for myself. But the holy part is deeply personal to me, because, you know, when we talk about honoring ourselves, loving ourselves, treating ourselves as sacred, this is so life-changing in how we not only show up for ourselves, but how we show up for others and how we show up in our relationships. And this entails a whole lot of different practices, like maintaining healthy boundaries, assertive communication, having a self-care practice, not putting too much on your plate. There's a lot of things that go into treating ourselves as sacred instead of like a workhorse, for instance. Mm. So for me, the wild and holy part, or the holy concept, is really living true to ourselves and honoring our soul. And it's really based on three components. I think that our sense of spirituality is such an integral piece to our sense of self. Understanding what you value, understanding your beliefs, unraveling what you were taught to believe, and practicing spiritual discernment is such a big piece of creating like real deal true to you authenticity, and not superficial level authenticity. I'm talking about like to your core. Mm. Integrating this concept of discernment in every single area of your life, of really looking at what you have been taught to believe around everything, and using a filter and trusting your own judgment and cultivating deeper faith and trust in yourself. This is foundational and key to being true to who you are and giving yourself permission to be that person. What I've found from doing this work is that this really serves as a blueprint for how we operate in our relationships. And being able to create authentic, healthy relationships for ourselves that empower us, that encourage us, that build us up, this gives us a safe space to not only practice deeper authenticity for ourselves, but it also frees up a lot of soul energy for us to expand into who we're meant to be. And if we don't have supportive relationships in our lives, it can be completely toxic and detrimental. And this goes from romantic partnerships to relationships with our parents, relationships with friends, relationships with coworkers, right? So being able to cultivate healthy love with healthy boundaries, active communication, all of these things is so integral for us living happy and fulfilling lives. There's actually a Harvard study, 70-year study, that proved that people with healthy relationships live longer. Like, it has a very big impact on our overall well-being. And what I've found from doing this work with, you know, clients for the past 5 years is that when we really know who we are on a spiritual level and we're showing up in integrity in our relationships, what ends up happening is we become much more clear on what our life purpose is and the impact we're here to make. And that begins a really beautiful journey. For people who are seekers, people who want to leave a legacy, people who want to change the world, to awaken to this clarity within them of who they are and what they're here to do.
And I think no, I'm so sorry to interrupt.
No, you're fine.
I was just thinking like about purpose and stuff, because I think that like this generation, like the people mm-hmm. that are in like their 20s and 30s and so mm-hmm. on, people are, and I think that work has changed, and work has become mm-hmm. more gig-based anyway. And mm-hmm. it's something that I've picked up on, because I have like a lot of clients that work in leadership development, HR consulting, and like that mm-hmm. actual area. And something mm-hmm. that a lot of companies are facing is that like millennials like they'll come to a job and then they'll leave when they don't feel like it's like resonating with them. And so I think mm-hmm. that like we're more conscious, like, so when you said purpose, I was like, I think that people are also connecting purpose more to work, yeah. like so much more now, because I think that it's like we've begun to value it more, because I think the conversation has been started.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I think the thing that I see is that people want to shortcut to purpose without doing the inner work that's really necessary for you to have the clarity that you need. Because I think we all want clarity. And I think that it's a natural human inclination to want to know our purpose for being here. I really, really do. And it's tough when you feel lost or you feel unclear, or you feel uncertain about who you are and what you're here to do. But I think when it comes to purpose, and purpose and meaning are two different things for me, but purpose to me is really the most simplest thing in the world, but it manifests itself in limitless ways. And I think a lot of us get caught up on the manifesting part, on the how, than the what.
Yes. Well, what is yours?
My purpose is to bring women to wholeness and bring couples to healthy love. I mean, that's it.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to ask you about your husband.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would think, like, you know, like you would have some, I mean, like, you called him your best friend. I thought that was really sweet. And I mean, as a relationship coach and stuff, like, I guess, what does he think about the work that you're doing, and what kind of a guy is he? Like, what's he like? I'm just curious. Cause I mean, I think about my boyfriend, he's so different than me. I mean, in great ways.
He's definitely different than me.
Yeah.
That's for sure. But I think, you know, Breck and I we've been married for 6 years. And over the course of that time, we've really learned how to build a lot of respect and trust and intimacy in our relationship. And what it has created for us is a very safe space to be ourselves and to have difficult conversations with each other, which is absolutely necessary if you want long-term love. You have to be able to talk about difficult things. You have to be able to show up, and there has to be room for both people's emotions in a relationship, because there's two different personalities living in a similar space, and there's going to be conflict from time to time. So being able to manage conflict successfully is necessary for sure. But I think, you know, Breck does a really good job of giving me space to explore and to evolve. And I think that is one of the most powerful gifts any of us can give our partner. Because I think a lot of times we marry somebody or are in partnership with somebody based on who they are now, not realizing that we're always changing and evolving. And so realizing that you're going to be on a journey with somebody and changing together, like opening that dialogue consistently, so you're tracking each other, you know, because I think what happens a lot of times is that the communication starts to shut down and y'all are continuing to evolve both on your, you know, own ways. And before you know it, you no longer recognize the other person because you haven't been communicating about all of the things that you've been integrating, right?
Yes.
So staying in touch about is super powerful. But he's very laid back. He's chill. He's easy to get along with. And, you know, I'm kind of more of like the social butterfly, the more extroverted one, I guess I should say. And he kind of creates some balance for me because he's more of a homebody. So it's just a good mix.
That's great. And, you know, I can speak to, so I'm divorced. I don't know. I don't know if you know. I don't know what, I don't wear a sign or anything. So. But I talk about it from time to time because it was like it was probably the biggest change I've had in my life so far, was like that whole experience. And I can definitely tell you that, because I really don't have any negative feelings towards my ex-husband, but I can tell you for absolute certainty, it's 100% because we became different people, definitely different people. And not enough connection to keep, to keep it together. And I think as long as, like, you know, like realizing that you're on a journey too. Cause I think that when we got married, we each were checked. Like, I mean, I checked all of his boxes and he really checked all of mine. Like, we loved each other, but like, we loved the other stuff too. Like, I mean, like he fit into what I thought my husband would be. And I have to tell you, this is a while ago now. Like, the divorce was a while ago now. But who I'm with now in no way. Like, do you know what I mean? And it doesn't, like, I have no more boxes because I threw this out the window because I learned my lesson, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're not supposed to have boxes, but, like, he's perfect where it matters to me. Like, yeah. Where, like, what you said, like I feel so comfortable and I feel so supported and understood without making everybody go, aw. But, like, that's really, like, I feel so, it's, like, the healthiest relationship I've ever had, ever, ever. So,
And how transformative has that been for you to be more courageous in showing up in the world and your work?
Times 12 million, times 12 million, Megan, 12 million. No, because here's what I will tell you. Since being with this person, I have taken considerably more risks in my business that have, that have, like, I mean, paid off either, I mean, paid off mostly really positively,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I think that we box ourselves in, like you said, that, like, the wild part of your title, Wild and Holy, it's, like, about taking away these boxes. Because I think that sometimes we put them there because it's, like, a sacred space. Like, you know what I mean? I wrote this paper in college that relates to the idea of the box, but it was about, it was for a religion class, actually. And it was just about sacred space and how sacred space is defined as a thing with four walls and a ceiling. And that's why houses are, like, that's how the feeling of home is a thing, is, like, because that's what we think of as home. And, like, when you're, you know, a baby inside the mom, like, that's why it's, like, you're completely surrounded. That's comfortable. And so I think, like, but being with this person, like, I've definitely unboxed all of that other stuff. Because I don't need it to, it's like, oh, man, I don't need it to feel safe anymore because I feel so safe in my relationships.
I think, I mean, that's really interesting how you describe that. Because I think, you know, we, like, going back to the meaning side of that, of purpose, when we're talking about what we hold as sacred, we choose what is sacred, right?
Yes.
And we, and a lot of times when we're choosing something as sacred, it means that we show up for it, we respect it, we're devoted to it, we honor it, and we love it.
Wow. We have such good natural conversation. Too bad you don't live here. We'd hang out all the time. Like, we'd be like those people in Starbucks that don't leave. Like, that would be us.
Yes.
You have a date. If you come to Boston, we're going to hang out. That's what's going to
happen. Awesome.
Oh, man, oh, man. Okay, so I want to, I can't even believe, do you see what time it is? I don't know, you can't see. I don't know. Yeah, so it's been that, it's that time. Can you believe that? Okay, so, because this has been such a, this has been an amazing conversation, though, seriously. Mm-hmm. Like, I just feel better talking to you. Everyone, go buy everything she has. I don't even care. She's so great. This is great.
Thank you.
I would love to ask you for your last words and to give you kind of a target, more targeted question than just last words.
Go ahead.
No, it sounds like
you have more targeted words. Go, because I want to speak to what you're feeling.
Can you say what you were going to say? Mm-hmm. I'm the worst. Say what you're going to say. And then, because I was going to ask you about living bravely, like having advice for people that are, that aren't taking these courageous steps that I'm now taking, I guess, in their business.
So one thing that I want to impart to everybody, you know, I used to think that I had to have it all figured out, that I had to be fully confident in order to take action. But Wild and Holy, the concept of that, what's really underneath that is giving ourselves permission to be both and. And what I mean by this is that oftentimes we like to think in black and white terms or either or terms, either I'm confident or I'm insecure, right? Either I'm scared or I'm brave. But Wild and Holy really gives us permission to both be scared and brave, to both be confident and have insecurities. It's not about being something 100% in order for us to show up fully. And really just loving ourselves enough to take that next right step. Because when you're talking about creating a business or a life or anything for that matter that you love, that you desire, that you feel is meant for you, the way that we get there is simply taking step after step after step. And together they will weave a beautiful, beautiful life. So I think that makes it a lot more manageable for us to go after our dreams or to have that difficult conversation in our relationship, for instance, just take a baby step forward and the next step will appear before you. I promise.
My gosh, I want to just keep you forever. I do. I mean it so sincerely. I just think you're wonderful. That was so wonderful. I feel so good. Okay. Can you tell everybody where they can find you online?
Yes. So I am getting ready to move in this wild and holy direction. There's going to be a book coming out later. I'm starting a new podcast called Wild and Holy Radio. And I've started leading retreats called Wild and Holy Weekends. And I'm actually going to be opening up a year-long container in October, which I know is a while from now, but just kind of keep it in your radar. You know, if you jived with this conversation and you want to do some of this real deal, know yourself, practice discernment kind of work, then I'm going to be opening up a container called Wild and Holy Year, where we really talk about those three pieces of spiritual authenticity, showing up in our relationships and integrity, and how we awaken to our life purpose and giving our lives more meaning. So where I'd like for you to connect with me right now is simply go to megan-hale.com/radio, where you can be the first to know when Wild and Holy Radio launches this June.
And all this will be in the show notes. And thank you so much, Megan. You were just the greatest. This was awesome.
You're so welcome.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Bye, everyone. Thanks so much for listening today. Be sure to subscribe, listen again later, tell your friends, leave a review, because all of that helps me do all of this. For show notes and more information, check out lizteresa.com/podcast.